الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Most respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, is a sacred day in the Muslim calendar, in the Islamic calendar. And one of the main reasons for its significance was that it marked the day that Musa alayhi salam was saved from Fir'aun. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commemorated this day. Subsequent to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, almost a half a century thereafter, the Ummah experienced a great tragedy on this day. The day itself did not receive its significance in the Sharia because of this event. But at the same time, this event marks the loss of many lives, and many of these were from Ahlul Bayt, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, foremost of whom was the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Hussein radiyallahu an. And the incident of the shahadat of Sayyiduna Hussein radiyallahu an at Karbala on Ashura has, unfortunately, it's a narrative that has been hijacked by other groups like the Shia. And many of us are unaware, our children are unaware of who was Hussein radiallahu an, what happened at Karbala. And most importantly, we are not an ummah that simply commemorates events. Rather, when we recount these events, we seek to take a lesson that can help us in our lives, contemporary lives. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Only those who are people of intelligence take a lesson from these events. So inshallah, today, in the limited time that we have, I want to touch very briefly on who was Hussein radiallahu an, what transpired at Karbala, very briefly, and what are some of the lessons that we can extract from this incident. And I encourage you, because of the brevity of time, we cannot go into the details, the political background, the events leading up to the shahadat of Hussein radiallahu an. But go out, search, read. If you are unable to read, look and download some of the talks that are available on the net to learn about Hussein radiallahu an and the events of Karbala. Of course, with the disclaimer that they must be from authentic sources. This is a sensitive and an emotive topic. And particularly with regards to the incident of Karbala, of course, there are many narratives that come from Shia sources. And therefore, it is important that we verify the sources before we listen and we read. But it is extremely important as we move into this weekend, many of us will have some free time, and perhaps we don't know much about this incident. Let us go out and learn about this incident. Hussein radiallahu an, his title was Abu Abdullah. He was born around the 5th of Sha'ban in the 4th year after Hijrah. And he was born less than a year after his brother Hassan radiallahu an. And he was approximately 6 years of age at the time of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The great scholar Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah very aptly describes him as al-Shaheed, the martyr, al-Imam, the leader, al-Sayyid, the noble leader, al-Qurashi, al-Hashimi, sibtu Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa rayhanatu. He was the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was, as described in the hadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, one of two sweet smelling basil flowers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rihana. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had extreme love for Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in a hadith that, O Allah, I love these two, you also love these two. Famous hadith which we recite every khutbah in Jumu'ah, in the second khutbah, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah. That Hasan and Husayn will be the leaders of the youth in Jannah. So Husayn radiallahu anhu was extremely beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, the two youngsters, Hasan and Husayn radiallahu anhu, they come into the masjid and they were wrestling. Two young children, they were wrestling. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is watching them and he says that, I'm paraphrasing, go Hasan. He's supporting Hasan. So somebody says to him, that, O Nabi of Allah, are you preferring one over the other? So what does he reply and say? He says, no. But Jibreel alayhi salam is sitting here and he is rooting for Husayn radiallahu anhu. He's saying, go Husayn, and I am saying, go Hasan radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting on the minbar and he's delivering the Jumu'ah khutbah. Just picture the scene as we are sitting here and these two toddlers toddle into the masjid, stumbling and walking. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes down from the minbar. He scoops the two of them up in his arms. The epitome of rahmat, of shafqat, of mercy, of kindness. He goes back onto the pulpit, onto the minbar, and then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the ayah, innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. That verily, your wealth and your children are a test for you. And I saw these children walking, toddling and stumbling, I could not help myself. I had to stop my talk, I had to pick them up, and I had to embrace them. This was the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Sayyidina Husayn radiallahu anhu. It is mentioned that he performed approximately 25 hajj on foot. He narrates approximately 8 ahadith. And he had a beautiful character. He was soft, generous, punctual with his nawafil ibadat, especially spending on the poor. Now, the tragedy of Karbala, I will narrate to you very briefly because I would like to focus today's discussion on lessons that we can take. And therefore I am condensing volumes that have been written literally into 2 or 3 minutes. So I beg of you to bear with me that it occurred on the 10th of Muharram in the 61st year after Hijrah. And it was a moment that shook the heart of the Ummah. Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, stood up against the tyranny of Yazid bin Muawiyah, who had been appointed as the Khalifa. And Husayn radiallahu anhu refused to legitimize a corrupt and unjust ruler with the bay'ah, with the pledge of allegiance. He was invited by the people of Kufa to lead them against Yazid. However, Husayn radiallahu anhu was betrayed by these very same people as he neared the region. He received thousands of letters exhorting him to come to Kufa and that they would support him, but they betrayed him at the last minute, and eventually with around 71 or 72 members of his family and loyal companions, including women and children, they were intercepted and surrounded on the burning plains of Karbala. In fact, when he reached Karbala, Husayn radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that he said that this land is karb, distress, and bala, calamity. In Arabic, karb, distress, and bala, calamity. And he said that this is a land of difficulty. So Husayn radiallahu anhu, they were put to siege. They were denied food. They were denied water. And as I narrate this to you, I want you to transpose this to current day and to understand standing up against injustice and to see how the unjust deal with those that are standing up towards injustice. So they cut off the food, they cut off the water under the scorching sun. And on the day of Ashura, one by one, all of his companions and his family members were martyred, except a few of them, including Sayyidina Husayn radiallahu anhu. And this is not only a tragedy because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Husayn radiallahu anhu, but there were many from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sons of Sayyidina Husayn radiallahu anhu, the brothers of Sayyidina Husayn radiallahu anhu, sons of Ali radiallahu anhu, the nephews of Sayyidina Husayn radiallahu anhu, the children of Hasan radiallahu anhu, the children of Ja'far radiallahu anhu. So many of them were martyred on this occasion. And therefore it is a very sad event that occurred in the Ummah But at the same time, we are not an ummah that mourns and laments these events. Rather, we acknowledge the narrative and we take a lesson moving forward for us in our own lives. Karbala was not a defeat. It was a timeless stand, a declaration that truth must be upheld even in the face of death. Now, what are some of the lessons that we can extract from this incident of Karbala? And like I said, I exhort you, for those that have come in late, to go out and read the detailed events of what happened. How Hussein radiallahu anhu marched and moved towards Kufa. How he was betrayed many times. What happened with that betrayal by thousands of people, thousands of Kufans that had professed to be his followers, that were going to give him support, and how they then betrayed him. And this ultimately resulted in the tragedy of Karbala. The first thing that we take from this incident is that standing for justice despite all odds. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu stood up to a tyrannical ruler with dignity and honor. And even when he was abandoned by thousands of people who supposedly were willing to support him, he stood firm in the face of injustice. We don't only stand for justice when we are in the company of many people. We stand for justice as Muslims for the sake of justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you with justice. The second lesson that we take is that there is a moral responsibility upon the ummah to stand up against injustice. And again, I want to intertwine the lessons of Karbala with the lessons of Gaza. And not restricted to Gaza, but all of the geopolitical events that are taking place around the world today, where Gaza itself is exposing the nifaq, the hypocrisy of so many people around the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expect you and I to change the world alone. But He commands us not to be complicit in injustice. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Support one another and cooperate in righteousness and in piety. Do not cooperate and support one another in sin, aggression and transgression. So in our own way, whatever we can do to stand up to the injustice, whether it is the boycott of products and services to the best of our ability, whether it is spreading awareness, whether it is refusing to normalize injustice, these are not political acts. Rather, these are obligations on us as Muslims. Number three, what we learn from the incident of Karbala is that silence is betrayal. Hussein radiallahu anhu's tragedy was not merely due to the sword of Yazid bin Muawiyah or his governor Ubaidullah bin Ziyad or Umar bin Sa'd or all of those that were complicit, the 5,000 that encircled 72 of Hussein radiallahu anhu and his companions, laid siege to them, attacked them. It was not just as a result of these individuals, but it was also the silence of the masses in Kufa who invited Hussein radiallahu anhu, but they turned away at the moment of truth. Fast forward 1400 years, how many today are silent about Gaza? How many Muslims, how many leaders, how many scholars are silent because they fear loss of comfort or position? How many of us individuals, we are verbally with Gaza, but intellectually our minds remained chained to the oppressors and their way of life, their way of business, their entertainment, their socializing? We find it very difficult, as much as we may pay lip service, but in our hearts, are we able to boycott and abandon the way of life of those who are oppressing our brothers and sisters in Gaza? And then you have the silence, the strategic silence of the many in the area who profess with their tongues in their speeches, addressing their masses to garner the support that we are with Gaza, we are here to defend Gaza. But when it comes to political needs, when it comes to economic benefit that they can obtain, then they are not willing to support Gaza. Outwardly, to garner the support of the masses, but secretly, whether it is billions of dollars of economic trade, whether it is political influence, when the time comes to show whether they are prepared to stand up against Gaza, and you can do your own introspection around the many in the region that profess this, and how they have now remained silent when they are called to arms. Gaza and Karbala are the same struggle. In the year 61 AH or 680 after Hijrah, Hussein radiallahu anhu was besieged, cut off from water, food, surrounded by an army of soldiers and also an army of silence, who strategically remained silent, and Hussein radiallahu anhu was ultimately martyred with his family. In 2025, the people of Gaza and many other places, but Gaza itself, they are besieged in an open air prison, unable to leave, no food, no water, surrounded by bombs, so an army, but also surrounded by neighbors who are strategically silent, neighbors who are unable to come to their assistance, despite the fact that we share this ukhuwah, this brotherhood with one another. Just as Karbala exposed the true face of hypocrisy and nifaq amongst the Kufans, those who are in Kufa who pledge their support with their speech, but they renege their support due to political pressure, Gaza today exposes those who stand for justice and those who are complicit in the genocide. And you can go and do your own research with regards to how so many people are complicit in the genocide that is taking place in Gaza. Gaza exposes those who proffer support in their speeches, but when there is economic or political benefit to be had, then they betray the cause of Gaza. Then, number five, Hussein radiallahu anh teaches us lessons in courage and sacrifice. Hussein radiallahu anh already knew that he was going to be killed. He knew what the outcome was going to be. In fact, he left Makkah Mukarramah and marched towards Kufa. One of the reasons was that he said, I understand, I know that Yazid is going to come after me. His army is going to come after me. I don't wish for my blood and bloodshed to be spilt in Makkah Mukarramah, in Haramain Sharifain. Therefore, I am going out. The night before he passes away, he is asleep. His family is asleep with him. And suddenly he wakes up. His sister Zainab radiallahu anha looks at him and says, what has happened? And he says that I have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said to me that very soon you will join us. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was foretold about the martyrdom of Hussein radiallahu anhu. And we learn from this that as an ummah we adopt courage. Whatever the situation might be, we remain positive and we move forward. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He buries all except one of his children. What a tragedy. He receives the prophecy or the coming of so many trials, fitan, that will befall his ummah, including the martyrdom of Uthman radiallahu anhu, beloved grandson Hussein radiallahu anhu. But this does not cause Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to become discouraged in the least. He moves forward. Hussein radiallahu anhu moves forward despite the odds. This is a lesson for you and I. That outwardly, sitting here in the tip of South Africa, it might seem that all of the forces of batil are against us. We are not an ummah that is looking for the results. We are here to stand up and follow the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to stand up for justice, to follow the example of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. So we need to take this lesson of courage. Hussein radiallahu anhu stands there. He says to his people, when he realizes that he is being betrayed, he says that I give you full ijazat. You can leave. Go back to Madinah Munawwara. And they say, no, we are going to stand with you and we are going to fight oppression, despite the fact that there are only 72 of us and 5,000 of them. Number six, activism supported by worship. Now this is a very difficult one for us. During the siege of Hussein radiallahu anhu, he engaged in excessive ibadat, including on the night before he was martyred. In fact, he says to his brother Al-Abbas, when discussing and negotiating with the enemy, see if you can push them off till tomorrow, so that we may have this night, we can engage in istighfar, we can engage in dua, we can engage in salah. This was the pattern, this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba radiallahu anhum, that their activism was fueled by worship. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night before Badr, 313 sahaba facing an army three times their size, ill-equipped, what does he do? He spends the night in worship. He spends the night crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that they were lions, they had the courage of lions on the battlefield by day, but they shed tears in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by night. Today we are forgetting the power of dua and ibadah in the struggle against tyranny. We are willing to go out and march and do many things in public. But when we are asked to spend the night, a few minutes, a few hours in ibadah, to recite a khatam of the Quran, to make some adhkar, to recite or read some nawafil, then we find it very difficult to do that. So my respected friends and elders, Karbala was not an isolated event. It is a model of resistance. And Gaza is not just a news item. We may have become a little fatigued by what is happening in Gaza because of the amount of time that this genocide is taking place. But it is a test of our sincerity. Do not be amongst those who remember Hussein radiallahu an, but they abandon his values. And do not be amongst those who cry and lament for Karbala, but they ignore Gaza. They cry and they lament. As we will see, many of the Shia will cry and lament over Karbala. But what have they done? They have abandoned Gaza. So my respected friends and elders, in conclusion, let us educate ourselves about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, about the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On this occasion, let us educate ourselves about the events of Karbala, a beautiful and interesting incident. Let us study these events critically and help to draw lessons to guide us in our day-to-day lives. And let us remember and implement the lessons taught to us by the incident of Karbala. We will quickly run through them in conclusion. Number one, Hussein radiallahu anhu taught us to stand against injustice despite the odds. Number two, the moral responsibility of the ummah lies in supporting righteousness and piety, not transgression and sin. Number three, being silent when we have the power to speak is a great act of betrayal. Number four, a mu'min is positive and moves forward no matter the current situation. A mu'min displays courage and sacrifice. Our activism must be fueled by ibadah and ita'ah, by obedience and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, be wary of the hypocrisy of those who outwardly offer us support but betray us at the time of our greatest need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the highest of ranks to all those who have been martyred, to the shuhada of Karbala and all the other shuhada in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.